Good to see you this morning. Are you glad to be here? Are you here against your will? A few of them? A few of you? I hope not. But if you are, I'm glad you're here. Even if it's against your will, I'm glad you're here. You know, we've been talking about prayer for a good long time. And I told you a couple times that was the last one on prayer. But as I listened to missionary Jim Wilson last week, and as I read scripture this week and just contemplated the Lord, He put upon my heart another in our prayer series. One more time, we're going to go to this idea of prayer. And so I hope you'll bear with me this one more time of prayer. You know, as I said to you a couple of weeks ago, when you do a study on prayer throughout the entirety of the Bible, there's a lot of praying. There's a lot of praying going on. And so I hope that you'll bear with me. Let me ask you, though, before you start. I know that not everybody was here last week, but those of you that were here, you heard missionary Jim Wilson. And Jim told us about some pastors in Vietnam. One of them he called Brother A. Do you remember that story? Memories aren't as good as we like, maybe, perhaps, huh? Thank you. A couple of you remembered. Thank you. Let me refresh your memory. Brother A was a non-believer in Vietnam. And he was watching these Christians, and he was watching how they acted. And he said to himself one day, I want what they got. And Brother A became a Christian. He became a follower of Jesus Christ. He meant it, not just with words, he meant it. And after year one, his first daughter died. And after year two, his second daughter died. In year three, his third daughter was sick unto death. They took her to the hospital and they said, nothing we can do for her. She's going to die too. And while this, particularly this last daughter's sickness was happening, missionary Jim reminded us that God impressed upon Brother A's heart to what? Pray. He said, Brother A, I need you to pray. Brother A's third daughter died too. And while they were in their home with the loss of his third daughter in 3 years, as a new believer, they pondered perhaps many things, one of which could have been, now what? God. And that feeling, Jim told us, that feeling came upon Brother A again from the living God that said, Brother A, I ask you to pray. I suppose, friends, Brother A could have been asking himself at this point, for what? I suppose you and I have been there, asking ourselves, God, for what? Been there and done that. Isn't working for me. Matter of fact, you've been there? I thought so. We've been there a time or two. And Brother A was there that day, his third daughter lying dead in their home. And God impressed upon Brother A, Brother A, I've asked you to pray. And so Brother A and his family gathered around this daughter of theirs that had passed. And I don't know how many family members there were, but they began to pray. And she'd been dead for some time. And friends, as they began to pray, God raised her from the dead. Hallelujah. This is the 21st century, brothers and sisters. This is not first century Old Testament. This is not Acts. This is the 21st century God answering prayer. Does that not go along exactly with what I said a couple, 3 weeks ago when I said from Ephesians 3 and 20, now unto him who wants to do immeasurably more than you can even think or ask. Does that not just kind of fit right in there? Praise be to God. Brother A probably thought that raising from the dead was out of the realm of human possibility, and it is. But many in the Bible have reminded us that all things are possible with God. And he said to Brother A, I want you to pray. And when he prayed for his daughter who had died, God raised her from the dead. And now is it, what did Jim say she was, 17 years old or something? Now as a 17-year-old, they've taken her to the doctor, and there's nothing wrong with her. Hallelujah. Friends, I'm thinking that goes right along with what I've been challenging us with for 6 or 7 weeks. God wants to respond to His people's prayers. Amen. Amen? He wants to respond to your prayers. He simply said to that Vietnamese pastor, I want you to pray for your daughter. And upon praying for their daughter, God raised her from the dead. Friends, I've been challenging us for weeks. God wants to respond to His people's prayers. Now, I realize that some of us maybe get a little heartburn when I suggest that God changes His mind. I realize that. Okay, so if you get heartburn with that, then get a hold of this. I assure you, God answers prayer. I assure you, God responds to the prayers of His people. So if that's changing His mind or changing direction or whatever you want to call it, I assure you, this is full of examples. God responds to His people's prayers. And we heard a very real testimony last week of how He responded to one man and his people, his family, I mean, praying for a daughter that had died. And so, friends, I assure you, we serve a God that wants to answer your prayers. And so, I've decided we should have a prayer lesson number 6. Let me ask you this before we go to our scripture. 2 weeks ago, do you remember what we talked about? Pastor, missionary Jim Wilson was here last week. And 2 weeks ago, I spoke about prayer. Do you remember what it was? Like I said, I realize memories are slipping. And we are talking 2 weeks. Okay, let me give you a little help. I was talking about standing in the gap. Ezekiel 22:30. God is calling His people to stand in the gap for somebody in prayer. Now, in that 2 weeks, I realize you've forgotten what God said in Ezekiel 22:30, but I suspect His Spirit has been working on you like He has been on me. In that 2 weeks, you don't have to tell me who, but has He put somebody on your heart, in your mind, to stand in the gap for them in prayer? How many? He's put somebody on your heart and mind, hasn't He? He has mine too. Every now and then, I get a little help from the email or some social media or something. But God will put somebody on your heart and mind to stand in the gap for them. Brothers and sisters, there's millions of somebody that need you to pray for them. You say, Jim, God is sovereign. He's going to do what He wants. He is sovereign. He is almighty. But He's asking His people to pray and stand in the gap on behalf of other people. Here's one little example. I got a text this week. Hey, Pastor Jim. It's so-and-so. She writes her name. I could really use a prayer. It seems I need God to take over now. Hello? It's a plea for somebody to stand in the gap and pray. And I'm not the only one that gets these. There's co-workers around you. There's neighbors around you. There's family people around you. There's people all over our society and around the world that need some of God's people to get active in their prayer life and stand in the gap and pray. It's not just for preachers, folks. There's somebody needing you to pray for them. And may I just suggest... May I just suggest this? If you're a follower of Christ, and I mean passionate, I mean surrendered, I don't mean lip service, I mean you've taken the head knowledge, you've applied it to your heart. If you're a follower of Christ, He will probably put somebody on your mind to pray for. And if you said, nope, Jim, it hasn't happened, then may I suggest that you listen just a little closer. Because somebody needs you to pray for them. Somebody does. Sherry and I were at a funeral on Tuesday. We will get to the scripture eventually. Sherry and I were at a funeral of a very godly woman. She was a prayer warrior. Matter of fact, we heard testimony at that funeral from a number of her children. They were a mixed family, blended family. She'd outlasted a couple, three husbands, and so there's a lot of children involved. But this prayer warrior prayed for her children year after year, hour after hour. And we heard testimony from many of her former partying, heck-raising children, how they were now passionate followers of Jesus because she was willing to stand in the gap for decades for her children. We heard their testimonies. They knew their mother was praying for them hours at a time. And I'm just suggesting, friends, God has someone in mind for you. If you will be open and listen to the voice of God, there is somebody He has in mind for you to stand in the gap for them in prayer. Are we ready for Scripture? Thank you. Good. Let's have a little look. 2 Chronicles 7. You're scratching your head and you're thinking, wait a second, preacher, you've talked about 2 Chronicles 7:14 before. And you're right, you remembered that. You're right, I did. But God put this to my memory again this week and said, talk about it again, and here's why. Because there's an if in there. You saw the sermon title in your bulletin? There's an if in there, and there's a then. And that's what we're talking about tonight, today. If and then. And we don't have time today to look at 2 Chronicles 6, although I'd like to, because that's Solomon's prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. Take a look this afternoon. I ask our first service this morning to please take a look at that prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. Solomon has just finished building the temple. He's just finished dedicating the temple. I can't remember the quantity of lambs. I think they slaughtered 120,000 lambs or something. Incredible amounts of sacrifices. They had just dedicated this magnificent temple to God. And in 2 Chronicles 6, Solomon, the Bible says, Solomon raised his hands before the people and he prayed. That whole chapter is a prayer. Beautiful prayer. And in verse 12, God comes back to Solomon. This is chapter 7 now. And says, I've heard your prayer. So I'm going to pick it up at 2 Chronicles 7:11. And we're going to focus on 14 again. Then Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house. And Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer. Chapter 6 is that prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. As a matter of fact, when you read through that prayer, you'll see it's a prayer that Solomon even suggests, you know what? We might have a chance to slip. We might sin. We might even turn our back on you, God. Solomon mentions all that. But be patient with us. He's praying. And so God comes to Solomon in the night, and he says to Solomon, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Now listen to 13 real, real closely, and see if there's any applications for 2012 America. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, ring any bells? We're just going through the worst drought we've had in America in 60 years. God said to Solomon that night, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts, did you know he is in charge of the locusts? I should have asked the little kids before they're up there. There's still some kids up here. Did you know he's in charge of the locusts? Charlie, did you know that? God's in charge of the locusts. He tells them what to do. That's pretty cool, ain't it, Blaine? God said to Solomon that night, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, then we get once again to 2 Chronicles 7:14 that says this, if if people in the 21st century, no, wait a second, that ain't what it says. If my people who are called by my name, yes, that is what it says, after all. If God said to Solomon, who was king of Israel, the priests, no, he didn't say just the priests, he didn't say just the preachers. If the kings, if the prophets, no, he didn't say that either. He said, if my people who are called by my name, that's us, brothers and sisters in Christ. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. You see what God is saying to us, and I know maybe he's going through your mind. Jim, you've already told us this. I know that. But listen to what he's saying to the 21st century church. If you, my people, will humble yourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. Did you know there could be some wicked ways still in us? There could be. Did you know that even in the church there's probably a couple things we got to repent of? There could be. We talked about that some time ago when we were talking about this prayer series and said if there's sin in our life, we got to deal with it if we're ever going to have any prayer contact with God. It's got to be dealt with. And God is challenging Solomon here as he challenges us today. If my people, the people in churches everywhere, all over America and around the world, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then. That's where then comes in case you missed it. Then, if and when my people do that, then I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. Hallelujah. You see, friends, this is what God is saying to the church today, too. This is what he said to Solomon about the children of Israel, to be sure. We can see that in print. But this is also what he's saying to people that claim the name of Jesus today. If, then. I wonder if we can handle the if. Because I know God can handle the then. We saw it in Brother A last week in a testimony from Jim Wilson. I wonder if we can handle the if in our churches today. If we, people of God, will fulfill what God has asked us to do, then God will be faithful. Thank you. Amen? If we, His people, will be faithful to do what He has asked us to do. All He asked Brother A was to pray. He impressed upon his mind over and over, Brother A, I've asked you to pray. And later, Brother A remembered that. He was quite clear to Solomon. There's going to come a point when I'll probably shut up the clouds of heaven and you're probably not going to see any rain. There's going to come a point when I'm going to command the locusts and they're probably going to wipe out your crops. There's going to come a time when I'm probably going to carry you away by somebody else and you're going into captivity. But God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, he said, I will answer. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will forgive your sin. I will hear from heaven and I will heal your land. If and then, he said to Solomon, and if and then is what he's saying to us today. I believe it. Friends, we don't have time to really look at many more passages because we're going to celebrate communion today too. But let me just say this. The Bible is full of these if and thens. It's full of them. I'll close with one. It comes straight from Jesus. It comes from Matthew 7 at the close of the Sermon on the Mount. After this culmination of this major event, this Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is all the Sermon on the Mount. And at the end, there's an if and a then there too. Jesus said it this way, beginning at verse 24 of Matthew 7. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, that's the if. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, that's the if. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall. Why? Because it was founded on the rock. That's the then. If God said, if Jesus said here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, whoever hears these teachings of mine, that's his book. If whoever hears these teachings of mine puts them into practice and does them, that's the if, then his life will be like a solid rock foundation, because his life is founded on Christ. That's the then. And there's 100 more we could look at. You can look at, all you got to do is pick up the Bible and start reading it. You'll find ifs and thens. It's full of them. And I believe today, friends, I believe that God is calling us to the same thing today. If my people will humble themselves and pray. You say, Jim, I do pray. Praise God. Praise God. I hope that you do. I hope that you got an amen corner at home. I hope that you got a prayer closet at home. I hope that you'll entertain the thought of coming here on Saturday night and praying. That's what we do on Saturday nights at 6 o'clock. Pray. You say, Jim, I don't like to pray out loud. You don't have to. You can sit in the back row. We'll pray up here in the corner. You can sit in the back row. We'd love to have you to pray. You can join a ladies group that prays at noon on Wednesdays. At Jessica's, I guess. And so, there's times to pray. Friends, there's times to pray. And I believe God is calling the church to pray. And I believe if, friends, hear me now. I'm going to close and we're going to go to communion. I believe if his people today, churches everywhere, people in this church, people in your church, if you're visiting us today, I believe if God's people will humble ourselves and pray, we will see the moving hand of God. I believe it. I believe it. And you know what I fear? We don't believe he's going to show up. I think we don't want to pray because we don't believe he's going to answer. That's not praying in faith. We talked about that early on. I believe if we will humble ourselves and pray, I mean seriously, diligently, passionately pray. We talked about praying for the lost. We've talked about praying for families. We've talked about praying for our nation, America, and all kinds of things. But I believe, brothers and sisters, if we will humble ourselves and pray and repent of any and all sin in our life, I believe God will move mountains in the 21st century America. I believe it. Maybe you don't. But I believe he's waiting for his people to pray. In seriousness, pray. Maybe the first prayer needs to be, Father, forgive me. I need Christ as Lord. Maybe that's where your prayer life needs to start. Because, friends, God hears you, but we saw this in Scripture before. If we've got sin in our life, we've got to deal with it. And if we haven't trusted Christ as Lord, surrendered all to Jesus, all of it, all of my life, if we've not done that, we're not where we should be with the Lord. That should be our first prayer. We're going to go to prayer right now. Just you and the Lord. You say what's on your mind. And prepare your minds for communion.